The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 22, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakayam Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Bhavadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtanjajeshatarine. So, this is very, very auspicious event, initiation ceremony. This is called Dvija, second birth. First birth is a very ordinary thing. Everyone gets first birth. The dogs get first birth. The pigs, svinya, they get first birth. You see? Everyone gets first birth. That's not a big thing. But to get second birth, that is a very, very rare thing. Therefore, Krishna says, Manushanam sahasreshu kashtir yatati siddhaye katatam apisiddhanam kashtin mang veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, hardly even one endeavors for perfection. And out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. So, to realize the truth that I need to get born again, that is a very, very rare thing. So, this is most auspicious thing. These souls are taking initiation today. Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in 1974 in Los Angeles on the 5th of January. And Prabhupada said this: deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Garashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue to follow the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So, initiation means attaining deathlessness. But note the condition. There's an if. If you continue to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then from that very day of initiation, that is when your deathlessness began.
Taigi,
If you consider the vast span of eternity, how you have been transmigrating for millions and millions of births in the cycle of birth and death, and understand that this moment of initiation is that turning point when now you regain your actual identity as the eternal servant of Krishna.
Jūs suprasit, kaip tūkstančius gyvenimų gyventų gimimo minčių rate, iniciacijos metu jūs perinate visiškai kitą nemirtingumo etapą.
By taking this initiation,
primdami šią iniciaciją,
and by following the vows very strictly,
ir labai griežtai siekdami duotais įžadais,
you've now entered the spiritual sky. Your heart now is with
Krishna.
And all the acharyas. You are no longer a man or a woman of this material world. Just like when you take your first birth, your mother and father give you a name. So today we will change your name. You can still use your name for legal purposes, your legal name. That's all right. But you should consider this, the name you're getting today, this is my name. This is who I actually am. I'm not that other name. It's like I have another name that my parents gave me. And it's on my passport. But I don't feel that name is me. I use that name in Krishna's service. But I never feel that's me. If someone asked you, are you Mr. Such and Such, giving my karmi name, I would think, no way, I'm not, that's not me. Because I was not really alive until Prabhupada gave me second birth. I was dead. I was a walking corpse until Prabhupada saved me and gave me this name, you see. Prabhupada has given me a new life. And I'm living with him at every minute. So when you take the initiation vow very seriously, you will never be ever alone again. Your spiritual master will always be with you to bless you and guide you. So take this initiation vow as the most important commitment of your entire existence. Never deviate from your initiation vows. Actually, it's a joyful thing. It's ecstatic. I get to be a liberated soul. And all I have to do is follow these simple rules. Chant 16 rounds every day of Japa Mala, at least. Avoid illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. In other words, if someone goes about and breaks the principle, it's like drinking poison. If I gave you a cup of arsenic, would you like to drink it? So breaking the principle is just like drinking poison. Only a fool would want to drink a cup of poison. So Prabhupada always liked that we should discuss these 10 offenses. Because when one takes up the chanting of the holy names, he is meant to learn how to do it without offense. So the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. This means we have to always respect all the devotees. Even if we disagree with them, we still have to respect that this person is practicing Krishna consciousness. He's trying to be a devotee, you see. We should never be treat them like, talk about devotees like they're some ordinary karmi just because I disagree with them. And the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Krishna is not one of the demigods. You must always understand Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And chanting his name is not the same as chanting Durga or Shiva or Ganesh. It's quite different. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Actually, the spiritual master is not a tyrant. He's not a dictator. He's your loving father. So if he's giving you an instruction, he's doing it for your benefit, out of kindness. So therefore we should obey those orders, because they're for our benefit. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. These transcendental books are worshipable. We should always honor them and respect them. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. To think, well, Rupa Goswami says there's more nectar in Krishna than can be experienced even with millions of years. So that sounds like an exaggeration to me. Do not think like that. No matter how much the holy names are glorified, you can never glorify them enough. Because the holy name is Krishna himself. Just as Krishna has unlimited mystic potencies, the name of Krishna also has unlimited mystic potencies. To give some interpretation on the holy name, this is what the Sanskrit scholars do. They say, well, Krishna literally means black, and black means ignorance, therefore Krishna is ignorance. Do not understand Krishna from the mundane scholars. You have to understand Krishna from the acharyas, those who have realized Krishna. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. Not that I purposely sin with the idea that I can counteract it by doing some extra round the next day. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. This means that I chant Hare Krishna for some material benefit. I I'm trying to get a new job so I have a, do a kirtan so I can get hired. Don't chant Hare Krishna for any material purpose. You don't need to do that. Because as soon as you Krishna sees that you're devoted to Him, He will take care of everything for you. You don't need to approach Krishna with your material desires. Don't be a Sakama devotee who's approaching Krishna to fulfill your material desires. You must be an Akama devotee who is simply approaching Krishna to fulfill His desires. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. This means that you, when you instruct people about Krishna consciousness, talk to them on a level that they can understand. Don't talk to them on a higher level that they cannot understand and will cause them to make offense. This does not mean that you should not preach. Our mission is to preach to everybody. Lord Chaitanya said that. But you have to do it in an intelligent way that the person will be interested and benefited by it. That's the point. It's not difficult. Just like I went to the grocery store one time and had my tilak. The cashier said, "What's that on your forehead?" I said, "This is the symbol worn by someone who was conquered over death." And if you like, I can teach you how to conquer over death. So, she was very interested to hear more. The point is, we have to explain things in such a way that people will be will not be offended, they'll be interested. That's the point. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, how are you going to get rid of those material attachments? You take a knife and cut them off, or what do you do? No. All you have to do is become spiritually attached. Attached to prasadam. Attached to devotees. Attached to the holy name. Attached to your spiritual master. Attached to the holy dham. Attached to tilak. Attached to kirtan. Just get yourself more and more attached to spiritual things that and benefit your Krishna consciousness. And then all your material attachments will fade away naturally. So now we will continue with our initiation ceremony. Well, I'm going to call forward Thalith and offer your obeisance to Radha Damodar, and then come over here and offer your dandavas to your spiritual master. So, how many rounds of japa mala will you chant every day? Only 16? Or at least 16? Okay, very good. What are the four regulated principles?
No meat, no gamble, no sex.
What was that?
No meat, no gamble,
yeah.
No sex.
No illicit sex. What was the fourth one?
And 60 rounds.
There's one thing, another thing we don't take. We don't take meat, fish, and eggs. We don't have illicit sex. We don't gamble. There's one other thing we don't do. Like, liquor or something like that.
Intoxication.
And that's right, no intoxication. Okay. All right. So your name is Samakarishi Das. Samakarishi is a very famous sage, and you can read about him in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A very famous sage, great devotee. Okay, very good. All right, and now Bhakta Anton, offer your obeisances to Radha-Dhamma, then come over here, offer Dhanavan. So, how many rounds of japa mala will you chant each day?
16.
Only 16?
Without food.
At least 16. That means 16 or more every day.
Yes.
Okay, what are the four regular principles?
No meat, fish, and eggs. No meat, fish, and eggs. No intoxications. No gambling. And no illicit sex.
No, okay. So, your name is Ananta Kirti Das. Ananta Kirti is a name for Krishna. It means one who has unlimited fame. So your duty is to broadcast the unlimited fame of Krishna all over the world. And by so doing, you will also become famous. Hare Krishna. Okay, Bhaktan Asta.
Lalanas.
Oh, okay, I just had it in this. All right. Lalanas. So, how many rounds of japa mala will you chant every day?
At least 16.
Huh?
At least.
At least. Very good. At least 16. And what are the four regular principles? Huh?
At least 16 without fail.
Jai. And what are the four regular principles?
No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication.
Very good. Okay, so your name is Raghavendra Das. Raghavendra means the king of the Raghava dynasty, and that is Lord Ramachandra. So you are the servant of Lord Ramachandra. And here's your bead bag. Okay. All right. So now we'll take Bhaktan Asta. So, how many rounds of Japa Mala will you chant every day?
At least 16.
Oh, very good. And what are the four regular principles that you must follow without fail?
Four regular principles.
What are they?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, and no intoxication.
Okay, so Bhaktan Asta, your name is Ashta Saki Devi Dasi. You are the servant of the eight Sakis, the eight chief gopis. Okay, the next one, Tatiana. From Sovesk. So, how many rounds of Japa Mala will you chant each day? At least 16. Very good.
Now, for 1 year, she is chanting 25.
That's nice. And she's doing at least 16 by doing 25. That's good. So, what are the four regular principles that you will strictly follow? And
второй принцип не употреблять интоксикацию.
No intoxications.
Винные напитки, табак.
Like vodka and tobacco.
No smoking. That's good. No cigarettes. Yeah. Did she cover all four? What's missing?
Just two. Now thinking about third.
And which one did she name?
She named no meat and no intoxications.
Yeah.
Не заниматься незаконным сексом, а если только в браке, а если в браке, только для зачатия детей.
No illicit sex.
Okay, what's the last one? It's like lottery tickets, you know.
Что ты принцип? Не играть в азартные игры.
No gambling.
That's right, very good. Little hint from the guru. Okay. So, Bhaktan Tatiana.
She has forgotten now. Will she forget during her life these four principles?
So she had a hard time remembering the no gambling. Do you ever buy lottery tickets? So it's okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Okay, very good. No gambling casinos. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. So, Bhaktan Tatiana, your name is Tilakini Devi Dasi. No. The other hand. The right hand. The right hand. Not the left hand.
Bravo.
Take it with your right hand. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Tilakini there are eight chief, the Ashtasakis, one of them is Chitra Gopi. Tilakini is an assistant of Chitra Gopi. And that Tilakini is not only in Krishna Lila, as an assistant of Chitragopi. She also appears as a he in Gaura Lila as Jagannath Das. So Tilakini is a female in Krishna Lila and a male in Gaura Lila. And she is the servant of the Tilakini. Yeah. Okay, so now Bhaktan Tanya. Pranam mantra loud enough for me to hear. And loud, and I'm a little hard of hearing, so say it very loudly. All right, so what are the four regulated principles?
No meat, no fish, no eggs, and no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
Okay, very good. How many rounds of japa mala do you chant every day?
At least 60 rounds.
Very good. So, your name is Tapasvini Devi Dasi. Tapasvini is newly married to Tapo Divyam Prabhu. So we have two tapas now. We have Tapo Divyam and Tapasvini. And Tapasvini means a female ascetic, one who does austerities for serving her husband nicely and becoming a first-class devotee. That is the meaning of Tapasvini. Hare Krishna.